Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, I've done a number of videos over the last week or so about intelligence, about the nature of intelligence, and about Prince Harry's intelligence. And these have evoked some quite interesting responses that fall into the realm of what is called cognitive dissonance. And so I would like to introduce the cognitive dissonance today, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, and explain why this is so significant in relation to discussing intelligence. So, what is this thing, cognitive dissonance? Cognitive dissonance is when you have a certain world view and you see the world in a certain way, and normally you see the world in a way which benefits you, which is self-serving, which makes you feel good, makes you seem good, makes you feel like you are a successful and important person, and basically, you know, keeps your self-esteem at a reasonable level. And somebody presents you with some empirical evidence which undermines something which is central to that world view, and which therefore or implicitly questions your self-esteem in some way. Now, obviously, an example of this for some people is going to be me making the empirically accurate assertion that intelligence is strongly associated with doing well at school, because some people will see that as challenging the idea that they're intelligent. Intelligence is considered important because intelligence is valued in all cultures. It correlates with all kinds of important things, often very, very strongly. So it's undoubtedly important and highly relevant. But some people, particularly people that are easily offended, which is, by the way, associated with high neuroticism, feeling negative feelings strongly, won't be able to deal with that. And so therefore you get what's called cognitive dissonance, which is a disconnect between how you want the world to be and how it actually is. You have to deal with this by creating cognitive consonance, by coming up with some way of ensuring that the world is as you wish it to be. Now, you can do this in two ways. One is you can simply change your worldview in light of the available data so that your worldview is based around, you know, the way it is. Or two, you can come up with superficially persuasive arguments to convince yourself that actually you're right. These arguments are, of course, wrong, but they are known as fallacies. But if you are sufficiently emotionally involved in the issue, if you are sufficiently high in negative feelings and so forth, or you are sufficiently low in IQ, then you will find these illogical arguments convincing because they will soothe your anger, or just because you won't be able to understand that they are not logical. Let me look at some of the arguments I have received. First of all, people have simply asserted that no, it's not true. Education is not a correlate, is not associated with intelligence. You get plenty of people that are highly educated that are stupid. Well, that's true. Of course you do. But what I was saying is that on average, educated people are more intelligent than uneducated people. A second is to simply deny that intelligence exists, to say there's no such thing as intelligence. But that's clearly inaccurate. Intelligence is defined as the ability to solve problems and how quickly you solve them. And we know there are differences in how well people do this. And therefore, intelligence is sure exists as much as any other concept exists. And also, intelligence correlates with all kinds of important things like how much money you earn, how long you live, how long your relationship last. I mean, the list is absolutely enormous. Thirdly, it's appeal to anecdotes. So people will say things like, oh, well, in my personal experience, people who are really nice, kind people do better than people that are intelligent. Well, that can just be refuted. It's empirically inaccurate. Intelligence is a better measure of how well you're going to do in life based on numerous measures than what kind of a kind person you are. And also, it's appeal to anecdote. It's just one person's anecdote. I mean, in general, people who are conservative on average are higher in agreeableness and conscientiousness than people that are liberal. That doesn't mean I can't run into the street to a very nice, agreeable and conscientious liberal. It's just an appeal to anecdote. And finally, it's appeal to insult. So I had someone on here say, oh, well, why do you go on about intelligence? Oh, it's probably look at the decorations in the background. You're probably poor, and that's why you go on about intelligence. What a preposterous argument. But that is an appeal to insult. And again, it's a way of creating cognitive consonance and dealing with the situation. But of course, deep down, a lot of those people will know they are wrong. They will have this feeling that they are wrong. And therefore, there is a desire to shut down the messenger, to shoot the messenger, to attack the messenger, rather than deal with the situation. And this is particularly important with intelligence, as I say, because intelligence is such a highly valued concept. Very few people, there are lots of things that you might be good at if you're low in conscientiousness or low in agreeableness, but there's very few things that you're going to be good at if you're low in intelligence. So this is cognitive dissonance then, and this is why me talking about intelligence seems to evoke such strong cognitive dissonance. And I will see you all soon, and goodbye!